and good afternoon. GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area, this is your live, this is your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network South and Central Texas listening area. Of course, you can hear this program every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station, online at grnonline.com, or of course, on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. You could join us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, which is GRN South and Central TX. We'd love to see you join us there so you can be caught up on everything we do throughout the week. And I want to thank everyone tuning in from Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and of course, right here in San Antonio. We're grateful that you've decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. And as you know, on this program, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting different people, ministries, and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, thanks to Pilgrim Center of Hope and Jason Nunez and Deacon Tom and Mary Jane Fox, we have David and Janet Pollock from their members of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre. of Jerusalem Sepulcher. I want to make sure I say that right, because we're going to be saying that quite a bit. And, you know, David and Jan, I'm glad you came into the studio. I'm going to go through my intro, but we'll be talking about you and talking about the order that you're a part of. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. And we're going to be talking about the event that's coming up next Monday, July 14th, at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower. And it's going to be a holy hour and relic veneration. So we're going to talk about that in the first segment. It's going to be interesting, and I hope we can get a lot of people to go down to the Shrine of the Little Flower. And on the second portion of the show, which he should be coming in real soon, it's Ken Zammit. He is Ken is the founder of Fullness of Truth. And of course, you know, on August 15th through 17th, they're going to be coming here to San Antonio, Fullness of Truth. It's always a great conference. And one of the speakers that's going to be there is Matthew Leonard. And Matthew's going to join us via phone here in the studio. And we're going to talk to Matthew about what he's going to be talking about, kind of give us a peek under the tent. But we're going to talk Fullness of Truth that whole weekend, what it's about. And of course, Matthew Leonard is going to be my speaker next April for my Fishers of Men dinner. So it's going to be great to get to know Matthew and what he's about and all that good stuff. But again, second part of the hour will be Fullness of Truth Hour. But, you know, before we begin those conversations, we want to pray, you know, like we always do here at the Guadalupe Radio Network. We want to start in prayer. And I want to start in prayer and giving this prayer up to all of the victims of the flood this past weekend. It was just horrific. And to say, I mean, I don't know a better word than that, but it was horrific. And so we want to be praying for all those who lost their lives. I think it's 80 plus now. And for those that are still out there that have not been found yet, we pray that the Lord, you know, guides those searchers to find their bodies so that they can be reunited with their family. But what a tough weekend this was, and I know it was hard for everyone, and we were all glued to the TV. But again, want to pray for everybody in Kerr County and Kerrville and Hunt, Texas, and even Georgetown. I mean, there have been victims all over the place. But and Camp Mystic and all the camps up there in the Hill Country, want to pray for them and for their leaders who succumbed to their death. And so I want to keep all of them in prayer, especially the families that are out there having to go through this ordeal. And I know, you know, our station out in Kerrville, we have some great listeners listening in on 97.9 FM KYRT. And we want to thank you for continue listening out there in Kerrville. And our prayers from the Guadalupe Radio Network are with all of you. And I want to thank Archbishop for going out to Notre Dame as he did yesterday. And, you know, led the service out there. And for all the volunteers, want to pray for them. And for all those searching for those victims, may the Lord give them strength. So we start in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just to recap, you know, what went on last week, you know, I know this past weekend was very hard for many. And again, we want to keep those prayers going. Prayer means so much. And if there's one thing that I saw, you know, our Pope Leo even had a message out there for the victims of the Hill Country. And it was a beautiful message. But, you know, we need to pray. And it's only through prayer that we're going to get through all of this tragedy. And it's only through prayer that, you know, we are going to help those that, you know, the surviving family members get through this horrible and tragic time. So want to keep praying for them. And if you can, offer up a rosary. If you're an adorer out there, offer an hour up for them as well. We'd love we want to make sure that we ask our Lord to intercede and to help those in need. And so want to tell you what's coming up before we get into our segment here. We've got Acts Missions. They're going to be very, very busy in the month of July. And they've got a couple of things coming up that I want to bring up. And one is their birthday celebration. Okay, that's going to be on July, I've got it right here, 23rd. They're going to be celebrating 38 years over at Acts Missions. Of course, Acts Missions started right down the road in Selma back in 87. So this is going to be a nice celebration. Again, it's Wednesday, July 23rd, and it's going to be from 3 to 7:30 p.m. over at their office, their corporate, their global office on 7711 Madonna, Suite 200. And if you want to RSVP for that event, all you have to do is email D. Martinez, and that's Diana Martinez, dmartinez@axmissions.org. dmartinez@axmissions.org. They're going to have light refreshments and hors d'oeuvres, light hors d'oeuvres. So you want to join them for that event on July 23rd. That's a Wednesday. And then they've got their Christmas in July on July 27th. And that's going to be at the Grand Event Center, located at 6709 Northwest Loop 410. They're going to have a Santa out there from 1 to 3 p.m., but you definitely want to go out there if you want to be a vendor. Of course, you could always call for more information. You call Erica, and that number is 210-756-5493, 756-5493, extension 313. So you want to make sure that if you're a vendor and you want to sell your Christmas wares in July, call Erica. But if you'd like to go out and buy Christmas wares, that is the place to do it. And what's coming up and what we're going to be talking about here very shortly with David and Janet Pollock is they've got the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. They invite you to a special holy hour for the church in the Holy Land and prayers for persecuted Christians. That's going to be Monday, July 14th, which is in a week, over at the National Shrine of the Little Flower, located on, Zorzamora. And, you know, you want to come participate. We're going to be talking about that in this segment. So with that said, I want to welcome Janet and David Pollock. How are you doing today?
We're doing good.
Real well. Thank you.
Well, let's start off with, you know, we were talking before, you know, we got on the air here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about the Holy Order that y'all belong to and how you became a part of that.
Okay.
Well, I'm from San Antonio. Jan and I met at St. Mary's University. She's an Air Force person, so she moved around the country a lot with her family.
Right.
I've been here in San Antonio all my life, so... here we are.
Yeah, I often say Dave gave me roots and I gave him wings.
That's awesome. And now you were both part of, you're over at St. Matthew, correct?
Yes, we've been longtime parishioners. We just celebrated our 43rd anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
So we were kids. We kind of raised each other as we got married. But our kids went through that elementary school. We have a son and daughter, and when our son was a first grader was the year that the school opened. So they're both alumni of St. Matthew.
Uh-huh. Part of the first class that went through St. Matthew. Mm-hmm. What year was that? I can't remember.
Oh, gosh.
It was 1993.
Yeah. I was going to say 93, yeah. Okay. Wow, that is incredible. And we're just talking how I was a parishioner of St. Matthew for a long time when I was at Hobby Middle School and Clark High School and got married there. Oh. And, you know, I was confirmed there, married there. So beautiful parish. Father Eric does a wonderful job out there.
He does.
But tell me about, okay, now let's talk about your the group that you're a part of. Because I think our listeners want to know, why are David and Janet here? What are they here to talk about? And it's the, I'm going to have you guys tell us about the group.
Okay. Thanks, Gordy. We're a papal order, which means we're under the supervision of the Holy See, which is the Pope. This order was established in the 11th century, actually the year 1099.
Wow.
After the first crusade that was led by Sir Godfrey de Bouillon, who was a French nobleman who led the first crusade. And, you know, he went there to protect the Holy Land, protect, reestablish Jerusalem and the holy sites where Jesus Christ lived and was crucified, died, buried, and rose from the dead.
Wow.
So in the early centuries, right after the order was established, it was very militaristic in its nature, you know, obviously to protect you know, what needed to be protected. But since then, we've kind of transitioned into a more peaceful approach, and to protect and support the Christians in the Holy Land and the holy sites that are there.
So he's the one that established the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem.
That's correct.
Whoa. This goes way back.
I guess 800 years ago.
There were horses involved back then.
Right. That's way back. Over 800 years.
But.
Wow. And so y'all are both section representatives, right? Tell us how, I mean, because you get appointed. This isn't something that you say, hey, I want to go do this. I mean, you got to be appointed. How was that appointed? How were you appointed?
Well, go ahead, Janet. No, we've been section reps for the last, 8 or 9 years.
Uh-huh.
The Archbishop has to choose somebody, and I guess we were the next in line. It's really not necessarily a parish-based organization. It's more global in its nature.
Right.
We're part of the Southwestern Lieutenancy, which incorporates 4 states, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas. So there are
section representatives in 25 dioceses across those 4 states.
Ah, okay.
That come together, and there are lieutenancies all over the world. Ours happens to be, I think, the second or third largest.
Gotcha.
Yeah, in our section, in our lieutenancy, there are over 2,400 members. So it's quite large.
That's a large organization. And so you put together, I mean, you're part of a structure, right? I mean, so this is through the Archdiocese of San Antonio. You're part of the Archdiocese of San Antonio.
Well, we represent.
You represent.
The Archdiocese. So the way it really works is it is a global papal order. It's organized around these lieutenancies for spiritual formation and to help ensure that the donations that the members make and commit to make for a lifetime go to the Latin Patriarch in the Holy Land. He's basically the Archbishop in Jerusalem. And then those funds are used to assist Catholic schools and parishes all the way up to the university level, like the University of Bethlehem.
Okay.
As well as hospitals, senior citizen homes, and all of those sorts of things that help the Christians in the Holy Land to participate in their Catholic faith, grow in their Catholic faith. But those services and those educational institutions also welcome people from all faiths in that region, which our order believes helps foster peace.
Right.
Because when the kids come together and they play together and they share meals together, regardless of whether they're Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Catholic. They develop friendships and relationships.
And so your order's mission is of service and charity.
Yes.
Okay, that is beautiful, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Members of the order, they fulfill their responsibility to support the people in the Holy Land.
Go ahead, David. Oh, your mic was off there, but go ahead.
Sorry about that.
We'll start that all over. Go ahead.
Yeah, members of the order fulfill their responsibility to support the people of the Holy Land in three particular ways. Obviously, praying for the church in the Holy Land and the Christians in the Holy Land. Donating to the initiatives of the order through annual obligations and appeals, and promising to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land sometime in their lifetime.
That's the mission of the order. So I kind of skipped one over. I want you to tell us about your interest in the Knights and Dames of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem.
Yeah, so I'll take that one. The Holy Sepulchre, for anyone that may not be aware of this, is a basilica that is built in the ancient city of Jerusalem, inside the ancient wall.
Oh, okay.
Over Calvary, the place where Jesus was wrapped in the shroud, mm-hmm. and the actual tomb. And the one that exists today, I believe, is the third, because over all these centuries, it's been destroyed several times and then rebuilt.
Right.
It is beautiful to, and we went on a pilgrimage with the Pilgrim Center of Hope in 2010, mm-hmm. and with a big group from San Antonio. And to be able to go to those places and celebrate Mass, and then you come back and you go back to your parish Mass and you hear the readings in the gospel,
right.
and you know, or you do scripture study, and you actually have been on those sites. You can see it in your mind's eye. It really yeah. brings it alive. So the protection of that site and many others all throughout the Holy Land was the primary reason the order was originally founded. Mm-hmm. And what happens is people that are very, very involved in their parish, in their diocese, there may be someone else in the order that recognizes that and nominates them. This isn't a sign-up volunteer organization.
Right.
It's something that, based on the body of the level of active work you have done mm-hmm. as a Catholic at the parish and diocese level, someone else may recognize that, invite you to discern on becoming a member of the order, and if you can fulfill those lifetime commitments, the obligations right. that are financial and as well as prayer and making the pilgrimage, you know, then we have people who say yes. But this organization really focuses on those three parts of the mission. It's not a fundraising organization.
I was going to ask you, like, how do you raise funds to do the? It's your own
this
personal.
This is individual, and so David was individually nominated. I was individually nominated.
Right.
It's not married couples. It's individual people. We have clergy that are members,
right?
And so, once a year, the lieutenancy all comes together. People mm-hmm. who are able to attend go to the annual investiture of new members. And it's a big celebration over a weekend.
Sure.
Cardinal DiNardo out of Houston mm-hmm. Actually celebrates the primary Mass. And so as section representatives, what our bishops and archbishops in each of these dioceses mm-hmm. ask we do is also offer some local opportunities for that spiritual formation. So for those members that want to meet other members from other parishes, we come together in San Antonio twice a year for a Mass and a dinner or a lunch, and someone may update us on what's happening with rebuilding schools or
right.
upgrading hospitals or,
right.
you know, some of the things that our donations may have supported. This Holy Hour was something that was actually Deacon Tom Fox and Mary Jane Fox's idea several years ago. We've been section reps, as David mentioned, since 2017. Dennis and Barbara Alvey from Holy Spirit did it for 10 years before that.
Right.
And so there's been a long line of people that have preceded us that have come up with ways for the local membership, those who want to participate, that part is not an obligation,
right,
to process together in the Feast of Corpus Christi event that was held in downtown San Antonio
just
on the 21st of June.
Yeah.
We've been to ordinations, and and we just will show up in our regalia and represent the order in with our presence.
Right.
We have family members of members who have passed away. We may be asked to represent the order at their services.
Ah, okay.
So this Holy Hour is the one event that we do a year that is
that's
open
coming
to
up
the
Monday,
public.
Right?
Yes.
That's Monday, July 14th at the National Shrine of the Little Flower. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, let me give you some of the details of it, and then I'll talk a little more about the real purpose of it.
Okay.
So as you mentioned, Gordy, it is a week from today at the National Shrine of the Little Flower off Zarzamora Street near IH-10. We're doing something special this year. If you'd like to come between 6 and 7, all are welcome to venerate a first-class relic of St. Mary of Jesus Crucified.
Oh, wow.
And that saint lived and died in the Holy Land. There is actually a flyer that I believe the Pilgrim Center of Hope has put on their website that has a QR code where you can learn more about this saint. And the Carmelite religious community that maintains the Basilica will also have their gift shop open during that window of time if anyone would like to go in and select items. The Holy Hour will start at 7 p.m. People will see members of the order in their capes and either berets or mantillas present. And it's going to be led this year by Deacon Jack Nichols, who is a member of St. Luke's. It includes a Eucharistic adoration. We will be praying for the intercession of Our Lady of Palestine, and there will be a benediction. So these prayers are really desperately needed for our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, as we're all aware.
Sure.
Everyone's welcome. You can go to the pilgrimcenterofhope.org website for some additional details. Again, we are hoping to increase the participation in this event. St. Matthew's hosted it last year. We had a very good turnout. And I think it really touches people's hearts to know, especially with all the strife that's going on, that these people really need prayer. They need support.
Absolutely.
And that's what everybody can do. So I thought David might offer a little bit more information about St. Mary of Jesus Crucified.
Yeah, I'd like to. St. Mary of Jesus Crucified was a Palestinian discalced Carmelite nun who lived from 1846 to 1878 in the Holy Land. She was known for her service to the poor and became a Christian mystic who received the stigmata. She is also called an Arab saint. The local Palestinian Catholics have a devotion to her. That's, you know, basically, I had never heard of her before, but...
St. Mary of Jesus Crucified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
the Pilgrim Center of Hope asked that we mention, they also on site at their location, which is just outside of Luke
410. They have a relic of her there.
Just outside of, out Calabria. They have a first class relic, which is some of the blood from her stigmata, as well as a second class relic, which is a piece of cloth from her habit. So Pilgrim Center of Hope. Yeah.
If you want to see that, you go to Pilgrim Center of Hope. They're located at 7680 7680 Joe Newton Street. Or you could always go into pilgrimcenterofhope.org to get more information.
Yeah. So, and just to tie that quickly back to the Basilica in Jerusalem for the Holy Sepulchre, they also have a fabulous exhibit, and there are only 9 of these in the world about the Shroud of Turin.
That's right. That's right. And they've come on this program to talk about mm-hmm. it. So interesting. Mm-hmm. So, and they've had a lot of people go through Pilgrim Center of Hope to take that tour.
Yeah. It's fabulous.
Well, I tell you, Pilgrim Center of Hope, they, you know, we support everything they do over there. And I'm glad they're a part of this in helping y'all, you know, get the word out and the coordination. And, you know, I want to make sure everybody's aware of what's coming up. July 14th, that's Monday, next Monday. And it's called the Holy Hour and Relic Veneration. And that's why I had David and Janet Pollock come on the program to talk about this, because it's from 6 to 8 p.m. next Monday, July 14th. And it is at the Little Flower Basilica located on 1715 North Zorzamora. And we want to make sure that a lot of Catholics go out there and check it out, because it's going to be something else. But again, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., they're going to venerate a first-class relic of St. Mary of Jesus Crucified, known as the Little Arab. Okay, so you can actually touch that first-class relic.
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to be good. Then they're going to have a tour of the Basilica, the National Shrine of the Little Flower, which is an incredible tour. We've had them on my program talking about that. And there's also an opportunity to purchase Carmelite items. And then from 7 to 8 is the Holy Hour. Okay, so you want to come participate in this Holy Hour, Adoration Hour. So, but it's a Holy Hour. So, you know, we just want to make sure everybody's aware of this. Anything else you can tell us about the event that's coming up?
No, just we ask everybody just continue to pray for the Holy Land and the Christians that are living there. It's a diminishing population.
Right.
And so we are hopeful and have faith that those holy sites and the people that live there will continue to be lifted in prayer.
And, you know, I'm in the site. I'm in Pilgrim Center of Hope. There's so much content in this website. They do a wonderful, fabulous job of maintaining and updating their website. So if you need more information, that information is on pilgrimcenterofhope.org. You want to go to pilgrimcenterofhope.org. David and Janet, that's our time is up for this 30 minutes, but thank you for coming in and telling us all about your group, your order.
Thank you, Gordon. Well,
thanks for having us. Yeah.
And everyone else, sit tight. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Few minutes. Bye-bye. Hold on.
How do I get to heaven? It's the question of a lifetime. And this August, Fullness of Truth invites you to find the answers at their 19th annual Catholic Family Summer Conference, For Heaven's Sake, Staying on the Path with the Science of Sainthood. Join Bishop Gary Yannick, Dr. Brent Petrie, Matthew Leonard, and more, August 15th through the 17th at the Hyatt Hill Country Resort in San Antonio. Family fun, youth programs, sacred music, and powerful talks to ignite your faith. Register now at fullnessoftruth.org/SA25.
Hi, GRN family. This is Toya Hall, COO of the GRN. Over the years, my mother would often tell me, the more you trust God, the more He can do. Every step of the way, from the beginning of La Promesa Foundation to the building of the Guadalupe Resource Center and to the building of the Guadalupe Radio Network, it has been a step of trust and a leap of faith. For 25 years, the GRN has been a bright light of hope to countless numbers of souls. And you are a great part of that success.
As we see turmoil in the Holy Land and everywhere in the world, we must focus on what we can do, join others in prayer, and trust that this prayer will bear fruit. You are invited to a special Holy Hour for Holy Land Peace and Prayer for Persecuted Christians, hosted by the only Vatican Lay institution charged with the task of supporting the Christian presence in the Holy Land. The Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem invites you to join them in San Antonio at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower, Monday, July 14th. Arrive early at 6 p.m. to tour the Basilica, purchase Carmelite religious items, and for a special opportunity to venerate a first-class relic of St. Mary of Jesus Crucified, a Carmelite mystic also known as the Little Arab, who lived in the Holy Land. Veneration of St. Mary of Jesus Crucified's first-class relic will be available from 6 to 7 p.m., followed by the Holy Hour at 7 p.m. Pope Leo XIV has said, "Peace begins with each of us." Answer his call for peace. Come pray at this special event in San Antonio, Monday, July 14th. For more information, visit pilgrimcenterofhope.org or call 210-521-3377.
Hi, I'm Father Chris Alar of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. My new book, Understanding the Sacraments, unpacks the extraordinary gifts unique to the Catholic Church. Ever wonder why we baptize infants? Is confession in the Bible? And must wives be subordinate to their husbands? The answers to these more hot-button questions about the sacraments are on sale now from Marian Press at shopmercy.org. God bless you.
Listen to the Spirit World with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Demonic activity appears to be on the rise. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I invite you to join Adam Bly and me this weekend for the Spirit World.
On the Spirit World, we offer a Catholic perspective on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact.
Saturdays at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, on the Guadalupe Radio Network and other EWTN radio affiliates. Visit grnonline.com/spiritworld.
And welcome back, everyone. Hey, thank you, David and Janet Pollock. That was a great 30-minute session there, talking about what's coming up next Monday, July 14th, Holy Hour for the Church in the Holy Land and Persecuted Christians. It's going to happen over at the National Shrine of the Little Flower. Again, that's next Monday, July 14th. And the National Shrine of the Little Flower is off Zorza Moore Street near IH-10. All are welcome. I'm glad that they came in to talk about everything that's going to take place there. It begins at 6 p.m. and it's going to end at 8 p.m. Yeah, they've got 6 to 7 p.m. They're going to have the welcome to the shrine and venerate a first class relic of a saint that lived and died in the Holy Land, Saint Mary of Jesus Crucified. Plus, they're going to, at 7 o'clock, they're going to have the Holy Hour, which includes Eucharistic adoration. So you don't want to miss out. For more information, it's real easy. Go to pilgrimcenterofhope.org. pilgrimcenterofhope.org. And you know, in my intro, I left something out. I wanted to congratulate the Most Reverend David E. Garcia as the 6th Bishop of Austin. Okay, congratulations, Most Reverend Daniel Garcia. He's our 6th Bishop of Austin for the Austin Diocese. So excited to see that. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that's perfect. That is incredible. But I know I've seen some posts out there, and I was happy to see that, you know, he's put in there as our bishop for the Diocese of Austin. So with that said, just want to remind everybody to join our Facebook page. And, you know, it's real easy to find our Facebook page. It's GRN, South and Central TX Facebook group. It is a Facebook group. And now I want to welcome Ken Zammit, the founder of Fullness of Truth. And Ken, thank you. I'm so glad that you came on. And joining us by phone is our good friend Matthew Leonard, who's going to be one of the speakers at Fullness of Truth. Matthew, are you with us?
I am here.
Good to hear. And Ken, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Gordy.
All right. So you guys are on the program here. We've got Fullness of Truth coming up August 15th through the 17th. And, you know, Guadalupe Radio Network, we're always out there doing, you know, live remotes, and we've got our table out there. And it's just so wonderful, wonderful to, you know, not only attend the conference, but work the conference. And we're going to talk about that big bookstore that you have in there. But first of all, Ken, let's talk about how Fullness of Truth started, how you got involved, how you started this whole movement. This is incredible.
Wow. Okay, where do I start?
But it's a loaded question.
I'll try and keep it to 30 seconds. But I mean, you know, I'm a revert to the faith. And part of my conversion experience, you know, just happened here in San Antonio, actually. I just visited Holy Spirit Parish and dropped off flyers and a banner. And nice. That's where I kind of crawled off the couch and back to Mass one Sunday morning years ago. And in that trajectory of my life and my coming back to the faith, that was instrumental. But studying the faith from there, it was kind of and I'd moved to Houston, and was just asking the Lord after Mass. You know, Mass was always a tearful event for me at that point, and it stayed right after, and look at that big crucifix at St. Mary Magdalene, Humble, Texas, and just said, Lord, I don't deserve this. You know, kind of had this St. Paul moment, and why'd you bless me so much? What will you have me do? Why did you do this? And, you know, one of those few times I count on one hand that I really felt the answer to my prayer, you know, without question. What I heard from the Lord that morning was, share it. Don't keep it to yourself.
Right.
So I had a lot of experience throwing parties, you know, through dental school and whatnot. I was pretty good at throwing parties and organizing these things. And I think the Lord works in mysterious ways and helped me learn how to throw big Catholic parties, you know. Yeah. And, you know, I really am a facilitator and organizer. And, you know, I know my limitations, like, you know, Dirty Harry said. And so I stand aside. I'd like to serve and let the speakers, like Matthew Leonard, that you're going to hear a little appetizer from, step forward and right. present to us our beautiful treasure of our Catholic faith so eloquently that it just fires people up. They go home and just want to get engaged with our Lord, his parish, and everything. So this started 25 years ago, Gordy, wow. right about the time Guadalupe Radio started.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're celebrating 25 years right now.
This is our 25th year as well. And so here we are. You know, 13 dioceses, probably 130, 140 conferences, two states, you know, later. Wow. Here we are. We're still going. And so we're looking forward to our 19th annual event at San Antonio's beautiful Hyatt Hill Country Resort. And we've got a great lineup as usual.
You've got a great lineup. And the theme is For Heaven's Sake. I love that theme.
Right. Just getting back to the fundamentals here. You know, Fullness of Truth has spent so many years, bringing and presenting so much truth to our attendees and everything. But the bottom line is that truth, and I'm sure Matthew will dig into this a little bit more, that truth has to filter down to the heart. You know, I kind of look at it like a rocket. Truth is like the rudders, but, you know, it has to get to the heart, has to get to the level of love of our Lord and unity with him. And that's the fuel in that rocket, right?
Yeah.
And so getting back to the fundamentals, I want to make sure that we are not remiss in talking about salvation, how we get to heaven with all this truth and this grace and everything else our Lord has packed in our Catholic faith for us.
This is the one event every year that, you know, I look so forward to. Yeah. And, you know, the speaker lineup is incredible. Dr. Brent Petrie, of course, Matthew Leonard, who we're going to have talk here in just a second, Catherine Whitaker, Father Ken Geraci, who every time I see says, Gordy, are you still in a state of grace? So I'm going to have to go to confession before I go to the Fullness of Truth Conference if I'm going to see Father Ken Geraci. Gabe Castillo, Father David Hust, and also music by David and Lauren Moore, which is beautiful. And, you know, the invitation comes from Bishop Gary Onick to everyone out there. And so I want to encourage everybody to go to fullnessoftruth.org. And there you can see the conferences. But I'm so happy that we've got Matthew Leonard on the line. Matthew, you're going to be one of the speakers at Fullness this year. What are you looking forward to? And give us a little sneak peek under the tent of what you're going to be talking about and who you are. How's that for three loaded questions?
Yeah, goodness gracious. You know, I find out, I'm going to just say this first. I love coming back to Texas. It's my home state. I was born in Dallas. And the irony of this conference taking place in San Antonio, Ken said it played a role in his move back to the church. I actually was coming off the mission field in Mexico as a Protestant missionary back in the mid to late 90s.
Wow.
And I was terribly ill. And I spent a month in New Braunfels, and I was already on my way into the church, and I just find it ironic to be coming back to San Antonio again. In fact, this might be the first speaking event I've had in San Antonio since that time, and I'm so grateful for the Lord, or, you know, what he's done for me. As Ken was saying, you know, you just thank the Lord, like, why do we have this great grace? And to come back to San Antonio with an organization like Fullness of Truth, the people that, you know, Ken and everyone on down the line, beautiful people, and talking about Catholic parties, it's a Catholic party, but it's a Catholic party that's designed to get us to the ultimate party, which is in heaven, this divine intimacy with our Lord. And that's what this is all about. And so what I'm going to kick the conference off with, and if I'm not mistaken, you guys are going to be broadcasting this, but we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer. And this really is the path to heaven. You can go to the sacraments all day long, but if you don't have that life of prayer, you're kind of wasting that grace. So I'm going to break open what vocal prayer is, what is meditation, how do you do it, and how is it all ordered to the contemplative life, which is what each one of us is designed for and what God wants to grant us. There's a path and a process you have to follow to get there, and he's dying to give it to us, literally, and there's a way we get it. And so I just want to explain it, because understanding this radically transformed my life. It just changed everything. And this is the topic that I love to talk about more than anything else, because it will change you into the saint that you were made to be. That's what prayer does. It makes you a saint. And so that's what I'm going to unpack at this great conference.
Wow, that is going to be incredible to hear. I know. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself, and you're a convert. Is that correct?
I am. Yeah, I came into the church a little more than 27 years ago. Within a couple of years after spending that month in New Braunfels, and I'm a pastor's kid, never ever thought I would call myself a Catholic. I was convinced you guys were on a highway to somewhere other than heaven. And
oh my goodness!
When you're open to the Lord, when you say to Jesus, "Do with me what you will," you better hang on because he will. But the Lord's been very gracious to me, and it was really the question and the issue of authority. And who gets to make the decisions that really was the slippery slope that I went down into the arms of Holy Mother Church. And I'm so grateful that we have bishops and popes and priests, and we have the church to tell us how it is that we get to heaven. Jesus gave us this beautiful church. And I always say, Gordy, I'm happier today. I'm more ecstatic to be Catholic today than I was the night I came into the church. I love this church. I want to give it everything I have. And this conference, this is one of these events that just, it bubbles up the love of the Catholic faith inside of me, and I get excited all over again about it all. I can't wait to get there and just talk about our lovely church.
What was the one thing, as you know, before your conversion, what drew you to the Catholic Church?
Oh, man. I think it was the issue of authority. You get to a place. So as a pastor's kid, my dad was a Methodist pastor. Then he was a Pentecostal pastor. I went to a Calvinist high school while I was going to a charismatic church. I went to Oral Roberts University and graduated from a Swedish Covenant University in Chicago. And I was a part of all kinds of other different denominations. And we all had a different spin on scripture. Right. So how do we know who's right? That was the question that finally got through my thick head. That started my move toward the church. And once you begin to ask that question, if you're honest and you're open to the grace that the Lord is giving, you can't avoid ending up a Catholic. That was the big thing. And also, frankly, Gordy, it was relationship with other people. This is one of the things we don't talk about very often.
Right.
I met one Catholic family, the only Catholic family I knew, and they kind of mothered me into the church. We need to be involved with other people's lives because that's the key to evangelization.
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful. I can't wait to hear your talk over at Fullness of Truth. And, you know, when it come back to Ken Zammit, you always have a lineup of speakers that are just incredible. And Matthew, you said you're coming. It's like a homecoming coming to Fullness of Truth, August 15th through the 17th. But you're also going to come back for my Fishers of Men dinner next April in 2026. So you're going to have two homecomings.
It's going to be great. I mean, I'm on your stations, you know, a fair bit, and it's going to be great to be with you guys in person. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I wanted to personally thank you again for saying yes to my Fishers of Men dinner, which, you know, I'll get the information out there, but it's going to be fantastic to have you over at Holy Trinity next April, and I'm looking forward to that. But Ken, let's get back to you on Fullness of Truth. Now, you have many, many conferences that go on throughout the year, right?
At least five or six, sometimes seven.
How do you, and your organization is top-notch, stellar. How do you guys stay on top of this? I mean, I haven't been to the one in Austin, which I want to go to Kalahari. I heard that one is incredible as well. But how do you coordinate all these events?
Well, it's a prayerful labor of love. This is what we get together and meet. We pinch ourselves that we get to come together, and this is our job, right? So it's work. you know, I have less hair and everything pulling out, you know, worrying about all this stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, right on the heels of this conference, again, our 19th annual conference in San Antonio, we're trying to, again, scale this success and the outpouring, you know, of welcome and fruits that we've seen in San Antonio to other dioceses. And right. So the Austin Diocese has a beautiful location and destination, a family destination, the Kalahari Resort. So on October 3rd through 5th, we'll have about our third annual conference up there. We're calling the Catholic Culture Revival 2.0 because last year was, we started that theme. And with Dr. Ed Shree, Dr. Mary Healy, you know, lots of doctors here, Dr. Dan Schneider, Eric Jenis, Father Rhea, you know, even Father Misko, was the administrator up in Austin, you mentioned. So we have a great conference lineup and just a beautiful destination that's actually three times bigger than the Hyatt Hill Country
Resort. Is it really?
Yeah, so we have a lot of room to grow up there. And then, so that's a month and a half after San Antonio.
Wow.
And then in December in Dallas, another wonderful Marian conference in December 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
We'll have Father Calloway back, Jeff Cavins, Monsignor Edward Morris.
Incredible speakers.
Yeah, we'll just delve into our Blessed Mother right around the feast day.
Yeah.
But shoehorned in between there, we'll get Matthew together with us again out in Louisiana and Lafayette right around the Feast of All Saints, October 31st and 1st. And it's going to focus on sainthood again. Okay. Yeah. So the one thing necessary will be the theme of that conference and how do we get to heaven. And I think you need to just pay attention to our subline for heaven's sake here at San Antonio, staying on the path with the science of sainthood.
Yeah.
The reason why I chose science of sainthood is because of Matt. And I think Matt needs to tell us a little bit about science of sainthood.
I'd love to. The science of sainthood is an online platform that I started 7 or 8 years ago, which is basically a series of courses that are laid out in order of the interior life. Like, what is the goal and how do you get there? Because the saints show us in all their great writings, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, and so many others, they show us the process by which we become a saint and the relationship and how that relationship grows with God. And, you know, I told you before, Gordy, that when you get a hold of the interior life, or it gets a hold of you, and you start to begin to desire Jesus more, everything else kind of falls to the wayside. This is the one thing necessary, as Ken said. It's this relationship with our Lord. And that relationship, just like in human relationships, needs care and attention so as to grow. That's what the science of sainthood is really all about. It's about growing in this relationship so that we can become one with Him in an ecstatic union of love and this flow of the divine river of love in the most holy Trinity. That's what this whole life is all about. That's what the science of sainthood is designed for. And I love the fact that Ken chose that as the subtitle here. But at the end of the day, I mean, if we're not pushing people in the science of sainthood, then we failed, right? That's what we're all called to. And I stole the title from St. Augustine. I used to call it St. Augustine when I was a Protestant. St. Augustine. But he talks about the science of saints. I mean, this is right out of the saints themselves, and we have to grow in this. And that's what this conference and the science of sainthood and everything that we do as Catholics is all ordered to. It's becoming a saint.
Beautifully said. And, you know, I want to also mention that, you know, this conference, it's over at the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Spa, August 15th through the 17th. You can go to fullnessoftruth.org for any and all information. You can register, buy your tickets, all that good stuff. But Ken, the one thing that really stands out to me, and this is going to be my third or fourth time going to Fullness of Truth San Antonio, families.
Right.
Families. I see lots and lots of families, kids running around. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it gets us going too. I mean, it's just seeing this beautiful place just teeming with, you know, Catholic life and joy is, you know, is breathtaking. There's no way to put it. So, of course, that's why we want to scale that. Of all the conferences we do, that's where we see the most of this. And this is what we want to be about, seeing a generational kind of attendance. And that's what we see from kids, grandkids, you know, up to grandma, grandpa, you know, learning their faith, celebrating faith, having time to relax, having time to reconnect, celebrate, you know, to worship together beautiful masses, beautiful adoration events. It just, I mean, again, we just float out of there by the time Sunday comes along and just can't wait for next year.
Oh, at Sunday Mass, when Bishop Gary presides over that Mass, I don't know how many thousands of people are in that room, but you cannot throw a football from one end to the other.
It seems like thousands, but it's, you know, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000, of course, and it's a big room. And, yeah, it's always all the Masses are just, you know, the top tier, what we see there, seeing our faith come alive together.
And what I want to do is invite, you know, those families out there, mom and dad, if you're listening, this is the place to be, August 15th through 17th. They do have a family fun night, okay, August 15th. And that's going to be included in your conference registration. But it's kid-friendly activities, games, and movie night. And, of course, the Feast of the Assumption Mass. But and tell us about the intimate benefit dinner. I think there's some people that, you know, they may not go to the conference, but they go to the dinner.
Right. Sometimes it's kind of a little different crowd, you know. But
yeah.
This dinner has turned into an event in itself.
And it has.
It's very special. It's a great way for us, again, to celebrate in a different way. and just enjoy each other. Just the fellowship there. And with Brant Petrie, Dr. Brant, and Matthew on board, we just couldn't help but feature them in kind of a tag team keynote.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're great friends. Maybe they can tell us, maybe Matt can tell us a little bit more about where they're going with this, but on the theme. But we're just going to just turn the keys over to them for about 20, 25 minutes and let them go. But just talking about the influence of social media on Catholics.
That's the benefit. Yeah, tell us a little bit about, because Matthew, you've got to have like two speeches coming into this thing, right?
This is going to be great because Brant and I are going to talk about, I mean, look, there's so much that goes on online and we're bombarded with so many distractions and things in this life. And I was actually just at a talk last night with Father Donald Haggerty, who's a great Catholic speaker out of New York and author, and he was talking about silence. And this is one of the things I want to bring up. We're going to talk about, is the online world a help or a hindrance for Catholics? How do we, you know, what do we do in the face of it, of all these things that are coming at us, and grow in the science of sainthood at the same time? Because it has its pluses and minuses, and we're going to go through that and just kind of talk about some markers of how you know, yes, say yes to this, say no to this, and give a little bit of guidance from our own experience and maybe peel the onion back and lift the curtain a bit on what's going on behind the scenes in the online world so you're aware of it and you know how to navigate it, because it can be disastrous to your spiritual life if you don't, and it can help you, but there are a lot of things that we need to know. And I just want to follow up on something you said, Gordy, and you're talking about families coming to this conference. If anybody hasn't seen the pictures of the Hyatt Hill Country Hotel, if you're a mom or a dad, go jump online and take a look.
Yeah.
This is a place you want to bring your kids to. It's so much fun, this place. These lazy rivers and pools and
they're
all the
building
rest.
A lake. I don't know if it's going to be completed, Ken, but there's a lake.
Unfortunately, I don't think it'll be ready this year, but next year we'll certainly be you know, mentioning it. But I mean, let's face it. I mean, getting families together, making time in their schedule to go and learn their faith, having an element of fun. We're human beings. It's important, you know, to tip for those that may be on the fence, them over to coming, and those that come are pleased, you know, by far that they have and that they come back. And that's why this event is easily the one event we don't have to twist arms to get people to come to. We open tickets, you know, ticketing and registration. The phone reads off the hook. So I think others, if they haven't been, ought to, you know, give it a shot and just see what we're talking about.
Yeah, give it a shot, because I tell you what, that shot in the arm that you're going to receive that weekend is going to be incredible. And, you know, I want to just recap, because some people may have just come on the radio, and I'm talking to Ken Zammit, the founder of Fullness of Truth, and also one of the incredible speakers that are going to be there, Matthew Leonard. He's on the phone with us. Now, this event is August 15th through the 17th. It's going to be at the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Spa. And it's, you know, you definitely do not want to miss this, because it is going to be an incredible event that, and we were just talking about, you know, many families partake in this, but you got to go to fullnessoftruth.org, hit on the conferences tab, and then SA25. SA2025. And there you can purchase all your tickets. And tell us about the purchasing of tickets. What's that process like, Ken?
Well, you just, as you said, just go to fullnesstruth.org. You'll see, for heaven's sake, the webpage there to click on, and then select, you know, want to purchase tickets. It'll take you to Eventbrite, and it'll have the rundown of the different tickets there. We have the general admission tickets. We have the priority passes with some extra little goodies in there as far as a lunch with the speakers and a Q&A, so, you know, priority seating and a goodie bag. And there's a family ticket that is very economical as far as conference ticket pricing goes across the country to bring the whole family, no matter how many kids you may have in your van. And then towards clergy, religious are free.
Yep.
And yeah, that's a, it's very self-explanatory. If there's any problems, give us a call, 281-358-9198, you know, and we'll help you through it.
That's, you know, last year I stumbled into the speaker's luncheon and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers was up there just pounding it out. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know this was going on, but yeah,
there was probably something in that buffet they had that just got, well, no, it doesn't take Deacon Harold too much to get excited, get him to talk about the faith again, just get out of the way. He brings the fire.
The fire, you just said it. I was just going to say that you get the fire in this conference. I mean, this is something that, like you said, it's, you know, it's going to be sold out. So you want to go in there now to purchase your tickets, and that's fullnessoftruth.org. And Ken Zammit, founder of Fullness of Truth, thank you for being here. Matthew Leonard on the line, thank you for calling in, Matthew. We appreciate you. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Courtney.
God bless you guys.
God bless all of you. God bless everyone out there. Keep praying for our hill country and those affected by the floods. And have a blessed week. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Catholic all the time. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
Hi, I'm Father Chris Alar of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. I'm honored to be speaking about my new book, Understanding the Sacraments, at Guadalupe Radio Network's 25th anniversary celebration on July 19th. Ever wonder why we baptize infants? Is confession in the Bible? And must wives be subordinate to their husbands? Join me as I answer these and more hot-button questions about the sacraments. See you there.
Atheists often justify their atheism by saying there's no scientific evidence for God. But this is problematic for two reasons. First, science can no more detect God than a metal detector can detect plastic cups. God, who is immaterial, is beyond the scope of scientific inquiry because science is restricted to detecting matter. This leads to a second critique. The argument confuses method with reality. Science's inability to detect God says nothing whether or not God exists. It's simply a manifestation of the limitations of its detecting powers. To say God doesn't exist because science can't detect him is to confuse the limitations of the method for knowing reality with what is real. So it really doesn't matter that science can't detect God, and therefore is not a justifiable reason to be an atheist. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
The month of July is dedicated to the precious blood. O precious blood of Jesus, infinite price paid for the redemption of sinful mankind. O divine blood, drink and laver of souls, standing between us and the Father pleading mercy. With all my heart I adore you, sweet Lord, and offer reparation for the insults, outrages, and ingratitude which you continuously receive from human beings, especially those who dare to blaspheme the divine blood you shed for us. Bless this blood of infinite value. Bless the fire of Jesus' love who shed it to the last drop for us. Where would I be if not for this divine blood that redeemed me? Indeed, Lord, I have drawn it from you to the last drop. What love! Thank you for this saving balm. May every heart, every tongue, now and forever, praise and thank this priceless balm, this saving blood, this fountain of crimson mercy welling up from the fountain of infinite love. Amen.
This is KJMA 89.7 FM, Floresville, San Antonio, also streaming the truth to the world.
at grnonline.com. It's food for the immortal soul, all day and all night.